am glad to be amidst you again after 3.5 months. We are all children of God. God is our light, and we are also light, being children of light. But our light is enveloped by so many coverings, and we are identified in the covering so much so, with the covering so much so, that we have forgotten ourselves. The cause of identification is the attention, which is the expression of our soul. They are, through the outgoing faculties, diffused in the outside world. So we have got, as a man, this man body, a very wonderful house in which we live in. This is considered to be the highest in all creation, and all masters spoke very highly about it. They said, it is next to God. We are divine in nature. We are spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, we are also eternal. Why we fear that we will die? But this greatness of our own, which is innate in us, we have forgotten. So all masters say, well, just realize the Godhood in you, which already exists. You have not to put in from outside. When a master meets, he does not put in anything from outside within you. He simply, your attention, which is the expression of soul and diffused in the world, helps you to withdraw from outside and come to its source, which is our own soul, at the back of the eyes, where our soul is withdrawn from the body and go to the back, where? To the back of the eyes at the time of death. If we can do that, well, we realize that we are no other than God. So when the masters come, they say, we are in a very pitiable state. We are living in a house where so many outgoing faculties are working. They were meant to serve us. But unfortunately, they, instead of serving us, they are having control over us. They are dragging us like anything. Take the outgoing faculty of sight. Ever since we are born, from that date onward till this time, we have been, our attention has been diffused through the eyes to the outside things. So many impressions we have been receiving through the eyes, they are counted to be about 80%. And some are coming from other outgoing faculties. Next comes as the audition. And the remaining, that is about 14% from the ears. The remaining 6% come through other outgoing faculties. So now what happens, you see, when you see something, we are attracted like anything. We receive impressions through the eyes, through the ears, and from other sources as well. So much so that our subconscious reservoir is overflowing with the impressions we have been receiving all through life. When even we go to dream, they react there. So if we know how to withdraw or liberate ourselves from the outgoing faculties, there is some hope. But our soul is first under the control of mind. Soul and mind have become one. They are called jiva. Soul is eternal. As I told you before, being one substance only. Consciousness, but coming in contact with mind, it has become the dua. So both combined, being dragged to the outside things, to the outgoing faculties, we are identified with them so much so that we have left no idea of our own self. We are souls, not mind too. Take the example of water. It is made of two gases, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen, you know, is life-giving. When a man is dangerously sick, they say, well, I'll give him a cylinder of oxygen cylinder. And hydrogen gas chokes our throat. Two different things when combined together form water, the quality of which is different from the two. Similarly, we are eternal spirit in man. Combined with mind, we have become the doers, and whatever we sow, so shall we reap. So Master says, be still. What they meant? Physically and intellectually. Then you will know that no other than the God within you. So this is the true state of affairs, you might say, in which we are going. We do not know how to liberate ourselves. Outgoing faculties are so strong that in spite of our wishing it, we cannot do it. When we become helpless and we cry, what does it happen? We are souls, as I told you, children of God. God is our true father. He sees my childism as unhappy. He himself cannot, after himself, come up to me, cannot be liberated. When a man is himself bound hand and foot, how can he open, lose himself from that binding? There must be somebody who is not bound. A bound man cannot unbound the other man. So you'll find somebody is required who has unbound himself. He has withdrawn his attention from the outside things and the control that the outgoing faculties had on it. Liberated it, then analyzed from mind, then man knows I've got the same God. And further, it is environed by so many casings, you might say, coverings, that is physical, astral, causal, supercausal, Allah liberate all these things we can adore, truly speaking, about our own self, although we begin to see. When we first withdraw from outside and rise from this iron curtain of the physical body, we see we are not the physical body. There, that Godhood begins to shine within us. We become conscious of it. And as we progress further, we liberate from the astral causal coverings, we become more and more conscious of that, until we become one. Because after all, we are light. When light is just analyzed from all other things, naturally light just is absorbed in the grand light. Just take the example of a candle, you see. When it is burning, put it straight, the flame will go up. Even you put it, you know, downward, even then the flame will go up. So our soul being light, you see, they always try to go to the source, great source of light, which is called God. That God which came into expression, all scriptures tell us, when God wished, there was low, there was light. So we are swamp of that light, you see. So you'll find we have got this man body, a wonderful house in which we live in. Here God gave us servants to help us, but they are revolting. They, instead of following us, obeying us, they are dragging us outside. See? And what things come in the way, you see, to which our this outgoing faculties drag us, they are players. To whom? To the soul plus mind, the dua, which is called jiva. So unless we get more bliss and jaya than what we are having now, we cannot leave the outside things. So God has made arrangements, you see. Outside things, players with daggers, they can be divided in two parts. One, very beautiful scenes, sceneries, beautiful things. When you see any beautiful scenery, any beautiful thing, our attention is drawn. And the second, when we have very sweet symphonies of the music, we are drawn like anything. These all two outside two things are the potent things which drag us outside. So God has more bliss, more happiness, more joy, more sweet symphonies of the music of the spheres. All glory and beauty lies within us. Only if we know how to withdraw from outside. We've got a great treasure within us. God is a hidden treasure with all beauty, with all sweet symphonies within us, but we do not know how to be invert down from withdraw from outside and enjoy that. This is the state of affairs we are in. As a man, we are all one. Now, just take the example of a house where the mistress is there, and there are 10 servants given to help her, and they revolt. Instead of obeying, they are disobeying everything. Now what will be the fate of the house? Everything topsy-turvy. If the servants are obeying, the house will be clean, everything will be set in order. Even in darkness you go, you will see what is what. Otherwise, what happens? The tables are upturned, there is no way out, it is all darkness already. you pass on, you just stumble over one thing, that fall the other way, there is no light to see. So that is the true condition we are having. So Master tells us, first of all, how to control, have control over this outgoing faculty. They tell us, not only tell us, but demonstrate to us how to withdraw, how to give you a contact with all beauty, all glory which is within you, maybe for a while, when you begin to have it the very first day, how to withdraw from outside. First thing, that is difficult. As I told you, we are so much outer impressions within us overflowing, that even in dream those come out in the form of being. Naturally, when you sit in meditation, try to something coming out, of which you never dream of it. But those are the impressions which you have been receiving all through life, unconnected. So that is the first difficulty that we have. For that, Master come, they tell us where you get these impressions, how to control it, how to stop to receive impressions from outside. Then, first thing is to enter this house. These, I tell you honestly, the servants had bound the mistress, you see. One dragging this side, the other dragging that way. Result is all houses topsy-turvy in the darkness in the house. So when you come to your master, what does he do? He, since he gives you this teaching, demonstrates it, how to withdraw. First your attention from outside, first enter in the laboratory of the man's body, and then how to liberate from the outgoing faculties or senses and rise above it for a while and give you contact with him. Of whom? God. What is God? God is light. God is life. God is love. You see light. You are given some experience of light, little or more. We feel consciousness. We feel a little separate from your body. We begin to see. Now we say it is my body, but we do not see it. Differentiate it practically. Then really we say, oh well, this is something else, like a coat to be taken off, to be put off. And naturally, God is love and love. We are drops of the ocean of all love. Naturally, love is innate in us. That sprouts forth. And as it comes in contact with that God into expression power, which is light and sound principle, it overflows. So this is state of affairs. This is the disease, you might say, or the affairs that we have to set right. For this purpose, we have joined various schools of thought. Religions are means to the end. They are the schools of thought in which we have joined. Who are we? We are children of light. Just under the control of mind and outgoing faculties, we are identified with body and outside things so much so that we have forgotten our own self. What to speak of that great power which is controlling each one of us in the man body. Otherwise, we could have run away out of it. We cannot. There are eyes, two eyes open, two ears open, two nostrils open, mouth is there. But we cannot run away out of it. That's the controlling power within us. So for a while, when some master comes, what is the function of a master? And what is he? He's a man like you. Of course, outwardly. He's got the same two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. He talks like you. He is also to maintain the body. does other functions of the world too, but he is conscious of his divine nature. He is conscious co-worker with the divine plan. Although he works at the level of man to help them as a man. So, this is what we have to overcome. For schools of thought or religions were made for the purpose to solve this mystery of life. To be out of this entanglement, you see, or this, what you say, obliviousness altogether. We do not know who we are. A little child knows better than us. You ask him who you are, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth, he feels somewhere here. As he grows in years older, he asks him, he says, I am Mr. Such and Such. Further he says, I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan. Again further, I am American, I am French, I am a German, I am Indian. Oji. He is conscious being, you see. That we have forgotten. We go so far away from our own selves that we have forgotten our own selves. So masters come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake. You are asleep. Being under the control of mind, your attention is diffused into the world and identified outside. You are awakened outside and asleep within. And God power is already within you, awaiting for you. Your true home is the true home of your Father. That is of all consciousness. All wisdom. Why are you stuck false in this material world and the outside things? These are only temporarily given to you. Body is changing, being made of matter every moment of life. This is a golden opportunity which has been given to us to realize ourselves, to know ourselves. And then know the controlling power which is controlling us in the body and controlling all universe. All masters say like that, of course in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. By parallel study of religion you'll find this. These religions were made just to liberate us from all these outer entanglements, to know ourselves and to know God. These were means to the end, that school and college is creditable, from where many students get degrees. But we have joined those very things. We have forgotten the goal. We simply identify ourselves as one religion, belonging to one religion or the other, or one country or the other. There have been religious wars, there have been patriot wars, in which thousands and millions were killed, and are being killed. Masters, when they come, they give us teaching from this level, universal level. They consider all children of God. You see, as brothers and sisters in God, because we are maintained, controlled by that high power. So this is the true state of affairs we are going through. So in whatever religion you are, that religion to remain there is a blessing. But to not to attain, achieve this lost godhood, well, you are still bound. So for that purpose, Master tells us what to do. As I told you, the story goes that in the old religions, I mean, of the Hindu scriptures, There was one very learned pandit or the minister amongst the Hindu, and there was a King Prichat. King Prichat he was called. He used to read out the scriptures day to day, every day morning in the court. And the scriptures say, those who hear the scriptures and act, they are liberated. Liberation is not something to be had after death, but it is to be seen now, whether you are liberated or not. So many times those scriptures were read out from day to day, month to month. One day, that King Prichat sat down and thought over it. Well, I have read in scriptures, whoever hears these scriptures, he is just liberated once for all. But I am bound. Mine is very like a magistrate, you see, tells you where you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. He told the minister, well, look here. I have heard this scripture so many times. Again, I give you a chance to have read the whole of the scripture again, from one end to the other. And after that, if I am not liberated, you will be put to death. What happened? In 7 days, the scriptures were read over throughout. And the last day, he came home, well, lied down in despair, tomorrow is the day of my death. His daughter was very wise, you see. Sometimes, daughters are very wise. He asked, father, why are you so sad? Well, dear daughter, I am to be put to death tomorrow. Why? Because it is laid in scriptures, whoever will read these scriptures, and they follow it, they naturally are liberated. Then I know King is not liberated, nor I am liberated. Well, I must be put to death tomorrow. There is no escape from that. And the doctor told him, all right, I will go to the king tomorrow morning and just question him. She went next morning. King asked, why have you come, doctor? Well, I have come to just reply to your question, what you put to my father. What? They're not here. Let us go to the wilderness, all alone, you and I. And she also sent for her father too, and got also 2 ropes. He tied with one tree, the king, and the other, with the other, his own father. Both were bound with the tree. She came to her father, told, father, will you kindly unbound the king over there? He says, well, I am bound already, how can I? Then she went to the king, well, king, would you kindly unbound my father? Oh, foolish girl, don't you think I am bound? How can a bound man can unbound the other one? And that is how she wanted, you see. And this is what is happening. We are bound hand and foot by the outgoing faculties. We do not know our own self how to liberate. How can we liberate others? This is a practical question of unbinding oneself. So to read scriptures is not sufficient, mind that. To hear the scriptures is also not sufficient. But there must be somebody who can practically demonstrate how to withdraw from outside for a while, how to rise above these shackles of outgoing faculties, open our inner eye, give a contact within, maybe later on. If once we do it again and again by regular practice, we will succeed. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. This is what the master does. To give a lecture, to tell you how to say prayers, how to perform certain rites and rituals, that any man can do it after a little time. How to act in pose, how to laugh, how to cry. No. But this is a practical question. Who knows it, who has that experience, is competent, He will give you some experience to start with, maybe little more. And what is wanted there? He wants be still.
Good morning. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first part of the talk titled The Intoxication of Love and the Master. It was given on 19th January 1964 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascon. Hi, Rudy.
Hello. Today's talk is from the March 1972 Satsang Dash called Who is High and Who is Low? A master begins. You know, you all probably know that this land has been at last acquired after 8 years of trying to get replacement of the land that was requisitioned by the government. Today, satsang is being held here for the first time. By God's grace and Baba Sawan Singh's mercy, this teaching is increasing daily, and more space is needed to accommodate everyone. So from today onwards, the satsangs will be held here. There is soft sand and natural canopy of trees to form shadows under which to sit in protection from the heat and direct sunshine. I have noticed that even on the hottest days, this place is not as hot as others. Trees and water are two of nature's invaluable blessings. The satsangs held here is not the monopoly of any special religion or sect. It is the basic teachings of all religions. Coming into the human birth, man is a social being and must have some social body to live in. There are more than 700 faiths and sects, and if anyone feels that all outer religious symbols and customs should be the same, it is not possible, mainly due to climatic differences and social rights. Someone once sought to trap Christ by questioning him about paying taxes, but he requested that a coin of the local currency be brought forth. While showing them the coin, he asked them whose image and name was inscribed upon it. And they said, Caesar's. So Christ replied, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. So whatever labels are stuck on your physical form, allow them to remain. And keep your own faith, language, symbols, and customs. The soul, however, is of the same essence as God, and we are all his children. The soul, therefore, belongs to God. Give it to him. Principally, two things are taught here. One is that the soul must realize God, and the other, that before realizing the truth, man must come to know himself in truth. The words of the sacred scriptures were uttered by those who had realized the truth, in whose names the religions were formed. All have said that human's highest aim is to realize the Lord, the accomplishment of which is only possible while in the human form. So to have the human form is a great blessing, and everyone should take up this noble aim with strong purpose of heart. All the different faiths were formed after the advent of some great soul, and whoever met those souls and received their grace realized the truth and tasted the nectar of the Lord. At the time of these great souls leaving the world, the schools and colleges or religions were made to keep their teachings fresh and active. These are the badges which we now wear. While the God-realized souls were here, the people were benefited. But after they left, due to want of practical people and the start of paid preaching, the schools of thought which were founded with noble purpose began to stagnate, and then deterioration set in. But master souls continue to come to revive the truth. We are all worshippers of the same Lord, and all are his children. Kabir says, soul is of the same essence as that of God. God may have thousands of names by which he is remembered, but we, as mankind, are alone. The caste of man should be accepted as one. We were not all born in the same way. Outwardly and inwardly, all men have been made similarly, although, of course, we are not the physical form. We have got the physical form. So from all the 84 million species of beings, the human being is the emperor. And the greatness of that human form lies in the fact that within it God can be realized. Receiving this human form, it is thy turn to meet God. What an unspeakable blessing. The time has come to realize him at last. It is thy turn to meet God. It is also said all these actions will not really help you. So having been born in the human form, is there anything else to do? Remember this, that your life's pattern is due to the give and take from past lives' actions. These things should be finished up, and you should return to your true home. So how should we use this human life? Keep the sadhu's company and repeat only the Nam. Who is the sadhu? Though God is in every being, and the sadhu is born like us, yet there is a special greatness in him. My Lord is in each being, no place is without him, but I sacrifice myself for that form in which he is manifest. God manifests himself in this world in the form of the sadhu. He is in all, but he is not apparent in all. So the manifested God in man is very necessary. One who can withdraw our attention from the external and mundane things and raise it above the senses and then rejoin us back to God, who already resides within us. Rejoin me back to God, anyone. Is anything else required to become reunited with the Lord? Sadhakar, righteous living is most essential. The mind that is running amok in bad outer influences must be brought to heel. Only then can any real progress be achieved. Our greatest obstacle is that the soul is under the mind's control and the mind in turn is under the senses' control. So release from this bondage is hastened by living righteously. When they asked Zoroastra what the qualifications for returning to God, he replied, righteousness. They then asked him what righteousness consisted of. And he said, good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. Like the masters, we should think of the good in all people and have concern for the upliftment of all. O Nanak, the Nam perpetuates. Through thy grace, the whole world benefits. Guru Nanak prayed, peace be unto all the world under thy will, O Lord. So masters in every age have taught the same teachings, including that one should lead one's life in a pure, chaste manner. Bloodstained clothes are impure. Where then is the peace in squeezing human blood? No one feels like keeping bloodstained clothes and considers them impure. But what about the people who squeeze the very blood of others for their own selfish gain? How can there possibly be peace in their hearts? The world is stuck fast in untrue things. O Nanak, to take God's name, purify your heart. We have also, when the mind is dirty, everything is dirty. Washing the body does not cleanse the mind. Also, this world forgets all in the depths of illusion. Very few unravel the mystery. People are going along in a great forgetfulness. Live in your own religions, but lead a pure and chaste life, for this is necessary to realize the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The physical form is also part of the illusion. Another name for illusion is forgetfulness. Where did it all start? It started when we came into the body. For though we were the indweller, we became the very image of the body itself and forgot our true nature. The machinery of the body works only because we are in it. But unfortunately, we are slaves to the senses. And so, in such condition, have become tainted with all the world's worst influences. This illusion started from the body, which we got colored with vice. Such a dirty gown is not liked by God. So how can I go to his lap wearing such as this? A woman who has only dirty clothes would not like to enter her Lord's house. All masters, even the Muslim fakirs, have given the same teachings. And here is no exception. The stress is on righteous living and the realization of the Lord. That is all. It is a very basic teaching which has been in existence from the very beginning of time. Man has forgotten it and its method, and so the masters keep coming to revive the same truth. Remember, all human beings are one. There are no high and low people. High and low status in material life is merely karmic reaction from past lives. All men are one, and all souls are one. Mankind is one, but we stick labels on ourselves, which say Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, and so on. The real purpose of these labels was basic. To become a man, a true human being, but we became a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Buddhist, etc., in name only. Who are you really? Just simply a man? No, you are not a man even. You are the indweller of this human form, which is the true image of a man, the highest in all 84 million species of creation. Even the gods worship this human form and long to inherit it. Why? Because it is the most precious time and opportunity when we can return to our true home. Even the angels bow before it. We have got it, and we have got it. Whoever made this body gave the key to the guru. The maker of the house put a lock on it and gave the key to the guru for safekeeping. God made the house, and he himself resides therein. Unfortunately, we have forgotten this knowledge, and we go on building places of worship in the image of the God-made temple, the human form. Within these models, we place the symbols of the Lord, light and sound, in the outer forms of bells, candles, etc. Man has become so enchanted with these models through the ages that it never occurs to him that he is himself in living in the true temple. God does not reside in temples made with stone. When I mentioned this during a talk in England, a certain bishop stood up and said, "You have thrown an atom bomb on all our churchianity." What a natural temple is this form, with the earth underfoot and the sky overhead, and yet people are so attached to the outer temple forms and formularies. Is there any outer temple purer than others? If so, then where do others stand? If the same symbols of light and sound are kept in them all, then which is the best? In truth, the best place is that in which he himself is sitting, and that is within this physical body. This body is the temple of God in which the light of truth is effulgent. When the same light is lit in all holy places, where does the question of difference and disagreement arise? The trouble is that we have forgotten the human being's true aim and have thrown God out of his own home, which he built himself, and have made him to sit outside. Further than this, if one corner of any of these models is defaced, then hundreds of the true temples are unhesitatingly sacrificed for the sake of that inanimate image. Can you see how significant this is? There is no particular religion here, but we have respect for all religions, for the true aim of all religion is the realization of God. If God is to be realized, then make your life righteous. Guru Arjan Sahib collected the words of many masters and combined them in a single volume, which is known as the Guru Granth Sahib. So God sends the master when he is needed. In the Quran Sharif, it is written, he has sent them to each country. They come and remove the illusion from life. 500 years ago, when Hinduism and Islam, the two most prominent religions in India, were at variance and fighting each other in a great forgetfulness, Kabir Sahib and Guru Nanak came as contemporaries to remove the ignorance in men. Great antagonism existed between religions at that time. Due to the work of the World Fellowship of Religions, this narrow-mindedness has been considerably reduced. Now, at least they are happy to sit together. However, they are still adamant. The Hindus desire all Hindus in the world to become one, and the Muslims desire all Muslims in the world to become one, and so on. They want to build huge pillars within their own frameworks. So how long will the tolerance last? How can there be true integration? The real integration at the common level of man happens when masters spread the truth. Why then should not all men in the world become one? The meaning behind Manavkendra, man-center, is to revive the original unity, which already exists but is hidden by superficial differences. We are first man, and then may be referred to by various other titles. You can see by a parallel study of religions that when the masters, the true men, came, they were born into various religions and were not therefore a monopoly of any one religion. Basically, they are all one and the same, for when God wished to become from one to many, there was a vibration, and out of that this vibration came the two aspects of light and sound. So God is light and God is sound, music of the spheres, no matter which name he is given. When masters come, they are the human positive pole in which the Lord resides in full manifestation, as they are manifested God in man. It is unfortunate that mankind, with the exception of a very, very few true seekers of God, has stuck fast in the fascination of the copies and has completely forgotten the original. Guru Nanak Sahib and Kabir Sahib were contemporaries, and Kabir said, "We are not Hindus, nor are we Muslims, but think of us as one." Guru Nanak said, "We are not Hindus, nor are we Muslims. Allah and Ram are the very breath of our bodies." Every being has God within him, but it is a question of getting the true eye opened to be able to see him. By the grace of the Guru, see that God's temple is within you. When the inner eye is opened, This can be clearly seen. Like two brothers, the soul and God live in close proximity. But the soul is always absorbed in outer things. If it would only withdraw from the outside, it would meet the Lord. The masters then come to take the souls out of forgetfulness. Consider him the highest in whom the Lord has manifested. Ravidas was a great enlightened saint who came just after Kabir Sahib. But people told him, "Oh, you're just a cobbler." Well, did God make the castes or did man? The caste system was based on men's material trades and occupations. So what has this to do with realizing God through spirituality? Did anyone's father ever buy him? Was he ever inherited? He belongs to that soul which truly yearns for him. Why are these facts being stressed? Because the world is going more and more into deep forgetfulness. Real integration can only be enjoyed at the level of man. What is the difference between one man and another? Why the thirst for another's blood? Why are men constantly at each other's throats? It is all because men wear different labels. You can confirm this from the history books. So this ground is common for all. It is called Ruhani Satsang, which means simply a spiritual gathering, no more, no less. It was Hazur's wish that a foundation be formed which is common for all religions. For all are blessed. So keep your own label, your own language, your own customs, but become pure and chaste and realize the Lord. It is in the body that one, but one cannot even think of it. Cursed beyond such a life. O Tulsi, the whole world suffers from cataract. When one is taken up in the airplane, in an airplane, everything below looks like one big hole, and nothing is separated. It is something like this to rise above the body. The masters see everyone as embodied souls or as pure soul, conscious entities. They do not say, "Oh, Christian, oh, Muslim, etc., listen to us," but say, "Oh, man, in soul's body, listen. A true master's teachings are for all, regardless of religion, custom, caste, or nationality. Social bodies, customs, and rights are only the first step. Due to the variance in these, there appears to be some difference in the subject and is forgotten that the purpose and the outcome remains one and the same." Kabir Sahib says that all are human beings and this is the time to understand these noble things and awaken out of the slothfulness. Awake, beloved. Why sleep? The night is past. Why lose the day also? This is the time to wake up, to become more conscious. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and remember that your soul belongs to God. First, Allah's light was created. Then life came into being. Kabir Sahib explains how the world was made. In all holy scriptures, you will find recorded that there was first light. In the Upanishads, it is written, "First there was the sun of Mahabharmand, and in it the sound was vibrating. The secret of this was given to Devaki's son, Lord Krishna, by Indra's Rishi. So first, when the Lord expressed himself, there was light, and then came the sound. This God into expression power is also called Nam and Shabd. Through the Nam, Khand and Brahmand came into being. God is light, therefore. Light and sound are phases of his very own expression. So at the level of the human being, a glimpse of God can be got only through his expression. With one light, the world came into being. Who is high and who is low? When men mine the earth, it yields gold, ore mixed with mud. But when it is cleared, only the valuable metal remains. God plus desire is man, and man minus desire is God. The soul is an entity of the great Godhead. Therefore, all the powers of God are in the soul, but on a smaller scale. When God said, "From one I wish to be many," with one thought, millions of rivers were created. So God created the world, but a single thought. And if we gain the knowledge and truth of who we are and withdraw from outer attractions and awaken within ourselves, could we not create one small town at least? Great is man. And when masters gain realization and become the mouthpiece of God, they shake the whole world. Archimedes of Syracuse sought to find the center of gravity with which knowledge he considered he would shake the whole world. He never came to realize that the center of gravity lies in man. When masters come, that center is awakened in millions of human beings. And through this awakening, right understanding begins. There is no need for any philosophy. These are straight facts. How many persons can we find in history who have become master souls up to now? One can easily count a few. Man has sunk deep into this great forgetfulness. And that is why the masters all say, "Man, know thyself." In the Greek philosopher's term, nothisisuten, "O man, know who you are," and in Latin, noscitipsum. Does any one of us truly know who he is? We know only that we are Jones, Smith, Brown, or we are Christians, Muslims, Hindus, etc. Man is first a man, and then he is a conscious entity, a soul, the indweller of the human body. Thank you for listening, you all. I'm going to stop right there. And what I read is from the March 1972 Satsang Desh, "Who is High and Who is Low." Thank you, Master, and thank you all for listening.
And thank you, Rudy, for reading this for us. 82 satsangis were blessed with today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for your grace.
So thank you for your affording this opportunity of snatching away your time from your busy hours to just have a patient hearing what I have come to know. So I thank you all for all that.